Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Donnie. It's a Donnie Football Friday. The first of many, taking us all the way to the Steelers-Packers Super Bowl, we hope, Donnie. Yes?
They're going to be 19-0-1, Joe.
At least.
They're going to tie in Week 8.
At least. So it's the first of many. Donnie Chedrick, Donnie Football, sitting right across from me. Austin City Limits Bechtold to my left. Everybody good today? Donnie, you well?
Great,
you fired up? You
I'm
ready
having
for football?
A phenomenal day.
It just started. How did it get phenomenal already?
Well, I mean, I got some exercise in, as did you.
Yeah, I did.
We have that little gym right down the hill from work here. That's a nice little
I've got
spot.
My key to that place now, and I may be joining you for some morning workouts.
Yeah,
how
we
about
got,
that?
We got a big high school football game tonight. Austin and I will both be there.
Which game?
Central Catholic in Pine Richland.
Beautiful.
A lot of scholarships being...
I love it.
Handed out there
yeah.
tonight.
Yeah. So you're calling the game together?
Well, I'll be on the sideline. Austin is normally like Ben Tenuta's main social media assistant.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Limits, you doing well today? You fired up?
I'm doing wonderful. Very, very excited. Football is back, Joe. Look what I'm wearing. Look what I'm wearing, Joe.
I won't tell you what Crowley said.
I don't care what Crowley said.
He
I could care less.
It's a Drew Aller jersey, and Crowley said, if my quarterback had screwed up the national semifinal, I sure wouldn't be wearing his jersey today. Was that harsh of
I would
Crowley
like
to say,
Donnie? I would like to see Crowley's quarterback even get close to the playoffs before he can comment.
That it did make me think, doesn't he have a Pat White? Now, yeah. Pat White was more injured in that 13-9 game, but they still couldn't do anything.
Pat White also blew out, was it Oklahoma, in a bowl game? I think so. Did he? Pat
yeah,
White was a legend.
It was that
legend.
Same year.
Yeah. Drew yeah. Aller can only hope to be Pat White.
He was a phenomenal
in college,
college
at least. God, I loved him. Donnie, it struck me as I said good morning to somebody today and was going to say good morning to you guys. It's almost like our own version of Good Morning Football on the NFL Network. Are you a good morning guy? If you see somebody, let's say, walking into the gym today, if you see somebody at your local 7-Eleven grabbing a cup of coffee, if you're on a walk, are you an initiator? Does Donnie Football make eye contact as somebody's walking by him and say, good morning or morning?
I'll drop like a, hey, how's it going?
Really?
Yeah.
That's friendly.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah. Do you expect a response or no? Are you hurt if there's not a response, even momentarily?
Deeply hurt. It's kind of like when you let somebody in on the highway and they don't give you that little courtesy
the
wave.
The little courtesy wave.
I'm like, man. I just gave this guy a solid, and he's not even giving
right.
up, giving the wave.
So you do think about it for a moment, right? I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or if you hold the door for somebody, and then they don't hold the second door, like we have double doors downstairs,
yeah. Or you
right?
hold the door for somebody, or
and they
a group
don't say
of people,
thank you.
You don't get a thank you.
Yeah.
That's up
stings.
There, too.
It's a little bee sting, isn't it, Limits?
Just a tad bit, yes.
Yeah.
I usually give a head nod, a hello.
Only a head nod.
Depends on the person. Depends on like you know what the vibe is back and forth. Like if they're making eye contact with you, if somebody's just got their head down, I just don't go, "Hey, good morning."
Yeah, that can be annoying.
He tips
I do
his
hear
cap.
That. I give them morning. That's it. A brisk. Like I was walking up at Green Tree Park this morning, and passed by maybe six different people on this trail. A quick morning, but a jovial one, Donnie. That's meaningful. Like, I meant it. I hope you're having a good morning. I hope your day is good.
Now, how were the responses there?
Mostly good.
Were
one
people,
guy,
did people have headphones on? Were they maybe jogging?
Like Limits.
Like, that's a tough time.
Right. I make a quick read at the line of scrimmage, you know, to see where I want to go with this. If somebody seems angry or is walking with their head down with headphones on, there's nothing. There's nothing's going to happen there.
Yeah.
I'm not going to bother them. But if they're, you know, somewhat present, I'm going to give a nice morning, just like that. And yeah, today, except for one guy gave sort of a brisk and brusque response that I didn't understand. And yeah, it stung a little, Donnie. But
did anybody recognize you? You're a big star in
no,
the city.
They only recognize the voice, not the face. I find.
That makes sense.
You? Or do people recognize you these days?
They'll usually hear the voice. So I guess to your point, like if I'm out at a game or whatever, they will catch on there.
Exactly. Well, I'm glad that we've solved that. And we have a lot to talk about. Let's start with a gigantic trade, a trade that you don't see a lot in the NFL. This is how often does the best defensive player in the world or the best offensive player in the world get traded? Micah Parsons goes to the Green Bay Packers for two first round picks and a pretty good defensive tackle in Kenny Clark, who's 30 years old. So we see, and this is interesting, and I thought Michael Silver wrote a really good column on this at the Athletic, was normally the very conservative Packers and normally the go-for-broke, high-profile America's team, Jerry By God Jones Cowboys, they're switching roles here. The Packers are going for broke, and they get a guy. And the Cowboys, I don't know if you're looking at it this way, I think they punted on this season. But where I want to start, Donnie and Austin, is here. Imagine waking up today in Dallas and being a Dallas sports fan. And you've seen Luka Doncic and Micah Parsons traded. Doncic, a transformational, like all-time talent. Parsons, maybe that still in his career, arguably the best defensive player in all of football. This would be like waking up in, I don't know, 2010, and this is real, and having the Steelers trade Ben one day, or Troy Polamalu might be a better example, trading Troy in, you know, May, and then turning around 6 months later and trading Sidney Crosby. Sidney Crosby and Doncic are in the same realm. Transformational all-time talents. Donnie, imagine being a Dallas sports fan today.
Well, if you're a Dallas sports radio host, you have an easy day. You simply just let people fill the lines all day for 4 hours or however long you're on, because it'll be one of the easiest shows those guys do. They'll rant, they'll take phone calls, and that'll be that. They traded two guys, not only the two biggest sports stars in their town, both guys that were barely over 25 years old.
Right.
They're both 26 years old. Like you brought up Troy. Troy was, I mean, just the way he played, he was already kind of getting to the back half of his career. I know he was great in 2010. He was defensive player of the year.
Say 08, say 06.
Yeah, so we could have moved up the timeline there a little bit. But, I mean, Crosby, that's a good comparison. Ben, that's a good comparison. Both of these guys are, they have been great since they showed up. They have stayed great, and they will likely be great for the next handful of years. I mean, Parsons, he's just a defensive player of the year waiting to happen. He was the consensus rookie of the year back in 2021. He's made the Pro Bowl every single season. Two-time All-Pro player right off the bat. I don't know if he's the best pure edge rusher in football, but when it comes to everything that he can provide to a defense, I think the argument is there that he's the most impactful one. He can do so many different things. It's not just getting after the quarterback, like let's say Myles Garrett or TJ Watt. He can be pretty much everywhere on a defense. He was like that in Dallas. I think he immediately vaults the Packers, who I think could have won the division without him, the NFC North. I think they're absolutely the favorites now. I think
the Vegas, favorites in the NFC?
NFC North.
NFC North, okay.
And I think they should be one of the favorites in the NFC outside of Philadelphia.
For sure, one of them. Definitely one of them. I agree with that, Donnie. Limits, can you imagine waking up today? You're a diehard, you're a diehard Pittsburgh sports fan. And seeing Polamalu and Sidney Crosby out the door within 6 months of each other in their primes?
Yeah, so I have a friend in Dallas that I touched base with after the Luka trade that was absolutely in shambles. I have decided not to check in this time because it might even be worse. I could not imagine what that would be like. And it all comes down to owners that either A, didn't want to pay up, or two, mangled the situation. And that's what I think the Parsons situation is, and how that was different from the Dak deal, and what Jerry is ultimately prioritizing. But just we have it tough here. That this has been very tough for Dallas.
I think you should check in on your bros, Austin. I think you should check in on your buddy there to see how he's doing.
Oh, yeah. They did get Cooper Flagg, so hopefully it will come back around.
Well, that makes up for a lot. check, if you can, Limits, check, just monitor Twitter for a moment and see if you can find, at some point, raging Cowboy fans. I was over, and this is a low-key brag, I guess, Donnie. I was over at the exercise club working out, right? Because I do every morning now. Have you noticed a transformation in me?
You do look a lot better, Joe.
Yeah, thank you.
Lean and mean.
I looked bad before, are you saying?
No, I didn't think you looked bad before, but you look like you're clearly
better
exercising
now
on a very regular basis. Yes,
yes, thank you. Well, I saw up on the television Cowboys fans raging. They had different clips, so I'd love to hear a couple of those. As I imagine myself, for myself, it would have been me in Buffalo, you know, watching, and I did watch it. It's one of the things, my first lesson, as a matter of fact, in the business of sports was in 1977, I guess. I guess I would have been 11. My favorite player was Bob McAdoo, MVP of the NBA. And my little 11-year-old brain could not understand, wait, he's their best player. He might be the best player in all of basketball. Why are they trading him? You know, and looking back, it was because they were dismantling the team, stripping parts, and were going to sell it. That's why that was happening. What was your first lesson in the business of sports, Donnie? When maybe a little Donnie football, very innocent and naive, got crushed by something.
I mean, going through the amount of times, is this solely a trade?
Could be like, anything that that made you think this is more than just fun, pie in the sky, sports is great type stuff that you'll get your spirit crushed because it's a business.
Yeah, I mean, the Steelers getting like crushed down by the Patriots two times in a very young age for me when I was like 6 and then like 8 or 9 years old. That was tough. I think where my line was actually, oddly enough, with the Pirates, just because I had like really no idea at a young age like how things went in terms of a rebuild, how teams would rework their roster.
Right.
And even though they aren't really an example of how to benefit from that because they've been trying to do it for almost 30 years now, or over 30 years now, with the exception of 3 a decade ago.
Were you alive for Aramis Ramirez?
I was young for that one, like the Aramis Ramirez, Kenny Lofton one for Bobby Hill.
The years
that they dumped guys like Sanchez and Bay, and like they just completely stripped everything.
Yeah,
multiple times.
It's hard to wrap your mind around, especially when you're a kid, things like this. But even for longtime fans, this is bitter. I mean, the Cowboys just punted. Now I'm glad that
I would be irate if I was a Cowboys fan or just a Dallas sports fan.
So like, would I,
given what I've just had to go through in the last 6 months,
yes,
7 months.
I mean, I can't believe this is occurring in the same town. And then when you read about it, all the arrogance of Jerry Jones, as Michael Silver wrote today, Donnie, he circumvented NFLPA protocol and rules by actively negotiating, like starting negotiations with the player without using the agent, right? So it was just him and Parsons. He thought he had the parameters of a deal. And then when the agent got involved, a pretty high-powered agent, I might add, he got all ticked off and wouldn't talk for months at a time. It's pretty clear that Jerry Jones mangled this, but I'll also say this much, and I want to get your guys' thoughts on this, and anybody wants to chime in at 412-928-9370. Welcome to a Donnie Football Friday, the first of many. Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Here's a very key question for me, because I thought under the circumstances that he created, Jerry Jones actually got a pretty good return for Micah Parsons. I do wonder what teams like the Bills or the Bengals or the Ravens or the Chiefs, especially the Bills, might have offered if they were in on this. Like, if I'm all in, if I'm Buffalo, I'm literally one player away and he's the player. Mm-hmm. I would have said, take 4 first round picks. I don't give a crap about 2031. What do I care?
Yeah, they should have been one of the teams
Yes.
Ringing their phone off the hook.
With a better offer than that. But here's my question. And I texted you something to this effect today. We now have TJ, Miles Garrett, and Micah Parsons. And I know Micah Parsons is more than an edge rusher. So is TJ, really. But the amount of money being sunk into edge rushers, 40, 41, now whatever this guy's making.
I think 47.
Yeah, it's crazy. Per season.
So he jumped way up.
Not long ago, this was quarterback money. And for some quarterbacks, it still is. How valuable is the edge rusher? And I ask because I look at, well, these three franchises. The Steelers are 0-4 in T.J. Watt's playoff games. He has one sack. The Browns are 1-2 in Miles Garrett playoff games. He has one sack. The Cowboys, I believe, are 1-2 with Parsons. Guess how many sacks he has, Donnie?
Zero.
One. So that's 4, 7, 10. The teams are a combined 2-8, and these three 40-million-plus superstars have combined in 10 playoff games for three sacks. And that got me to looking up, you know, how often do star edge rushers win titles anyway? And then a deep dive, Donnie, on certainly getting after quarterbacks wins you championships. But it seems like it's more about team pass rush, like the Giants against the Patriots, the undefeated team. Like last year, the Eagles just with swarms of guys and scheme. Tampa Bay getting after Patrick Mahomes a few years back. Now, they had some stars, but they had multiple guys.
Yeah, it was more about the whole defense.
How important, how critical is it to have a star edge rusher? It doesn't look like it's that critical to me.
I mean, I can only think of a couple of times in, I don't know, let's say the last like 40 years. And I mean, I'm sure I'm missing a few here, but like Lawrence Taylor comes to mind in 1986. The guy was the league MVP. He had 20 and a half sacks. The Giants did win the Super Bowl that season. James Harrison in 2008, Defensive Player of the Year. He had, what, 16 sacks. The Steelers won the Super Bowl. He had an all-time play in that game, and it wasn't even a sack. The only other, like, combo I thought of, and this could even be more chalked up to, like, a team effort, the 2015 Broncos. Now, they were led by Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware.
Yeah.
Miller was phenomenal in those playoffs. I think he had 5 sacks in the 2 or 3 games. He had a couple of forced fumbles. He won Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah.
So maybe you could throw those guys into the conversation. But it's not as often as you would think.
Right.
That it is, oh, they have a great star that gets after the quarterback, and that's why they're so good. I mean, the 2000 Ravens, they were just an all-time great defense. The 2002 Bucks, just an all-time great defense. They had stars, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't like they had one dude who got after the quarterback better than anybody else, and that's what got them over the edge.
Yeah, I just wonder. You're right about all of that. And, you know, when the Ravens won, I think Terrell Suggs was still a pretty good player as an edge rusher. Obviously, it's a good thing to have. But I just wonder, sink it all, like it came up with TJ.
Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Put the question out on Twitter and on this show, and this was before he signed his deal, obviously. Should the Steelers pay TJ Watt Miles Garrett money or trade him? This is a beloved player in Steelers history, and the vast majority said do not give him that money, trade him. And that was instructive to me. I just wonder about the wisdom of paying an edge rusher this much money with all three of these guys. What are any of these teams getting from this? What have the Browns really done with this guy? What have the Steelers done? What did the Cowboys do? And is this a clincher for the Packers?
I do think it makes the Packers a better team. I mean, I felt like their defense had some pretty good players on it, but you can say that about the Steelers too. You can't say it as much about the Browns. Like, it does feel like it's Miles Garrett way above pretty much everybody else on that defense. They have some okay players, but it's Garrett above everybody else, and the team always sucks. They have no idea what's going on at quarterback year after year,
right?
Even after the Watson deal, so they've just been a disaster ever since. The Steelers top out at 10 wins. They get to the playoffs. They get blown out. They haven't gotten, like, over the hump. Cowboys, kind of the same way. They even managed to do it in more embarrassing fashion where they'll win, like, 13 games and then get blown out in their first playoff
game. Would you
have
traded Watt? Rather than pay him this money, I would have.
Are we saying a package like this was on the table? Like what do you think that would have
looked
like?
Well, that's probably, always
maybe
the question.
Maybe not quite as much because Parsons is only 26.
Right. I still think, contrary to some people's opinions, the Steelers absolutely get a first-round pick and other things for Watt. I don't think they get two first-round picks, but maybe Khalil Mack did. He was a little younger, and now Parsons did. Maybe they do, but they certainly get one. Plus, you're not tied up at $41 million in your cap. I just think that there were other ways to go about that, and I wouldn't have paid him.
The only thing where I give the Steelers, I don't want to say a pass, but where it makes it a little bit easier to swallow is that they are not paying a big price at quarterback, and they won't be paying a big price at quarterback probably until Watt's contract is over.
Yeah.
I mean, they have Rodgers now for $13 million. I don't know. Maybe he runs it back next year if he has a good season. It'll probably be around the same price. And then even if they would hit on their next quarterback to come through, they don't have to pay that guy until we get to the point that Watt is either done playing entirely or that contract is done and they're, you know, at a point where they're like, listen, we can't give you another $40+ million deal. That's what makes it a little bit easier for me.
Yeah,
and the Steelers situation. But when it comes to, like, Parsons with the Packers, I think it absolutely makes them
a
better team. Like, this absolutely brought them from maybe the second or third tier of the NFC. Let's say the third tier to, like, the top of the second. I don't think anybody is with Philly right now in the NFC, but I think
not
the Packers.
Detroit?
I'm worried about what they have to replace with their coordinators. Now, they could have both guys slot in and still look great, but I'm a little hesitant to keep them at that level. But I feel like a team like the Lions, the Packers, the Buccaneers, they're kind of in that second tier.
Well, the edge rusher question, I guess, is more a wondering. I'm really starting to wonder how much value there is. When I look at these three superstars signing these giant deals, what have they won? And how much of that is on them and how much isn't? That's a fair question, too. Having said that, Micah Parsons does do a lot more than rush the passer. He is a monster who wrecks games. And the Packers definitely really increased their profile in the NFC and as a Super Bowl contender. Can you imagine the Bengals or the Bills with this guy? What that would have done? So I'm doing this for sure. In the end, I do think you win with stars in the NFL. Quarterbacks mostly, but stars in general, I do think that there is truth to that. Here's the other thing, Donnie. And this just occurred to me as I was watching this morning. There's so much angst over Dak Prescott all the time. Limits is not a big Prescott guy. There are people in Dallas who aren't big Prescott guys. So they've just increased their draft capital here. And while this may seem ridiculous, it's really not. He just signed an extension. And a lucrative one at that, Prescott did. But they have an out. They have an out in 2028 of the Prescott deal. Did the Steelers just get a competitor, maybe with a lot of draft capital now, for a franchise quarterback? There's going to be a lot of teams, I think, maybe some unexpected ones, looking for a franchise quarterback and a lot of smart organizations. I wouldn't put Dallas among those, but maybe the Rams, teams like that. Just, it's more than just the teams you would think of that may be hot on a franchise quarterback, especially if his name is Arch Manning, drafting him next year when the draft is in Pittsburgh. Did Dallas maybe, will they maybe throw their hat in the ring if Prescott either gets hurt again or stinks?
I think they definitely worked their way into that conversation. I mean, I think Prescott is a pretty good player. I mean, 2 years ago, he was one of the finalists, I think, for MVP, or he was close to it going into the final weeks of the season. I know last year was a disaster for them. I think a lot of people are expecting them to be bad this year. I mean, I think they'll have a worse season. They have a new head coach. Who knows what is going to happen now with the trade that came down over the last 24 hours. But now that they have the capital, I think they should absolutely be
Can you imagine Arch Manning in that town?
I mean,
and what the Cowboys would give up to get him?
You also brought up the Rams, too, with an aging Matt Stafford, and they have maybe the best quarterback guru of a head coach. You throw any of those guys in there with Sean McVay, and you could very easily make some magic. I mean, the guy went to a Super Bowl with Jared Goff. He won a Super Bowl with Matt Stafford. He's been able to win games with much lesser quarterbacks than those two as well, like Jimmy G.
Right. Plus, Donnie, you throw into the equation the Mannings' history with Eli and their power and their probably willingness to manipulate Arch if he comes out after this season. And he said, you know, whatever my grandpa Archie said, you know, I don't know that we're on the same page with that. Imagine if Sean McVay's on the board here. Imagine if the Rams are desperately trying to move up and you're the Manning clan and you're looking at this and you're thinking, where can we send Arch that would be an ideal spot that's not Cleveland or the Jets, right?
Or the Saints.
Or the Saints. Would it be the Steelers, what they might view as a very stable franchise? Could it be we want him with a great offensive mind like the Rams? You know, you read more about Cam Ward and his dad, or not Cam Ward, Caleb Williams and his dad, and how it seems like they came real close to trying to manipulate his way not to go to Chicago. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This has happened before, happened with Elway too. I wonder about that as well when you bring up, or when we bring up a name like the Rams.
I think that the Mannings would jump at the chance for Arch to be in Dallas, Pittsburgh, or L.A. I mean, L.A., you have the biggest market on the West Coast. You have a great coach for a quarterback, a pretty stable franchise that won a Super Bowl less than 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Dallas, the biggest brand in the NFL. I mean, you get to stay. You're playing with the Texas Longhorns now. You could just become a Dallas Cowboy within the next year. And the Steelers, yeah, the stability there is always attractive, even though that they have fumbled with quarterbacks since Big Ben. I think most people outside looking in, I mean, we hear what most people say. Outside looking in, it's stability, Mike Tomlin, these guys are always
That's the way they see it, yeah.
I think they would jump at the opportunity to go to either of those three.
Who are we looking at, do you think, when it comes to that? Because it feels to me like no matter what topic we bring up, Donnie, for the next 25 Football Fridays, all roads are still going to be leading to who are the Steelers going to take next year as their franchise quarterback. You know what I mean? We could be sitting here in week 7. Aaron Rodgers is great and they're playing well. Will this prevent them from a franchise quarterback next year? How does this work into next year? Will Rodgers come in next year? Or he's not good or gets hurt or something. And we're just going to constantly be talking about that. Feels like any move that happens in the NFL, like this one, leads us back to this overriding conversation with the Steelers of what the hell are they going to do at the most important position on the field? The Jets are probably going to stink. The Browns, the Colts will be in that mix, I mm-hmm. would figure. The Raiders might still be in that mix, Geno Smith or no Geno Smith.
Did you say the Saints?
I'm getting to the NFC, okay. The Saints for sure. Who knows? Maybe the Cowboys finagle their way into it. Maybe they stink their way into it. Maybe Prescott isn't any good. I don't know. Are the Panthers back on the board? Would the Falcons be back on the board? The Rams would surely be interested. And who knows who else? It's going to be a crowded field, not just for him, but for franchise quarterbacks at the top of that draft in this town next year.
I think that's what makes this college football season a fun one to follow, too, because the last time we really felt like the Steelers had to go QB, it wasn't a strong class coming out. And that's not meant to be a shot at Kenny Pickett or anybody else in that class. We just knew going in it wasn't supposed to be a strong class. This one is very hyped up. Now, it could end up like one of those classes, like, what was it, 2021, where you have a lot of guys who have not lived up to expectations. Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Fields, Mac Jones was in there, Trey Lance. Like, you get drafts like that, too. But this is one where there are a lot of quarterbacks that'll likely get their names called on that first night. Manning, and we don't even know if he'll be in it. There is a very real possibility that what Archie said is true, that he stays back for the 2027 draft. We have no idea.
Right.
I mean, the guy whose jersey Austin has on right now, he's going to be one of the names. You have Klubnik from Clemson. You have Nussmeier in LSU. There's a lot of names, and there's always some that come up from out of nowhere.
Joe Burrow coming up from out of nowhere in his final year, right?
I mean, Pickett was out of nowhere.
Pickett is a great example.
Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.